Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. Verse 26, but now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Let's go back to verse number 25, if you will. It speaks in this verse, and Paul is giving an explanation. And he is explaining his position, why he's there, why he is speaking. We call it preaching today, of course, but they were speaking the word of truth. But it was this knowledge that God gave him the power to establish according to what he was preaching or teaching. To establish Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. So this mystery is no longer a mystery. It's a mystery to those who do not know. It's not a mystery to those that have a revelation. So tonight we're going to be talking about that fact is of the mystery of God. And what that mystery is. The mystery revealed. And then I like this second part. If you can have the next one, please. That we are the mystery. We, talking about the church, we are the mystery. Paul was preaching something to them that was a truth. And he was explaining his reason for doing so. He was there to reveal the mystery, to reveal the church that God had desired to implement. Not too long ago, there were articles in the paper reporting a statement that was made by a certain denomination. It was talking about marriage, specifically a wife's submission to her husband and her role in the family. Immediately, secular minds, and we talk about secular minds, we can talk about carnal minds or natural minds, begin to argue against the statement that was in the paper. It sparked sort of a dialogue between people who thought they knew and between those who thought they knew. And this dialogue, suddenly, the church denomination that had made that declaration about marriage and about the wife and about submission. Suddenly, this church kind of changed a little bit. And I quote them, that's not what we really meant. What we really meant was, and if we're not careful, we will try to find a middle ground when people seem to not understand what we're saying. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 14 says, but the natural mind receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. If we're not careful, church, if we're not careful, we're going to allow unconverted human minds to redefine the New Testament church. I'm worried in the day and hour that we're living in, not only for this congregation, but for other congregations of this apostolic faith. If we're not careful, we will let the unrefined, unconverted human mind out there to reestablish the boundary lines by which is already established. If we're not careful, that we will be compromising. We'll come up with these same exact words. That's not what we really meant. What we really mean to say is, and we'll go off onto something else that won't sound as bad, or maybe hope they'll understand that. If the natural mind does not comprehend the things of the Spirit of God, and the things of the Spirit include divine understanding of God's Word, why is the church entering into this fruitless biblical debate with unbelievers? Okay. Most important, why are we backing down from God's Word? The church must come to grips with the reality that the world will never accept the church, the Word of God. Why? Because it's a mystery. There are two realities we must understand as the church. And I'm going to talk about this tonight on a Wednesday night Bible study. First, we need to continue preaching the gospel without apology, without shame. And if unbelievers reject Jesus Christ and call us crazy, then so be it. Second, we need to face the fact that the epistles, the letters that we find in the New Testament, were not written to unbelievers, but to believers. Submission of a wife to a husband in godly, righteous, holy Testament is not a concept the worldly mind can grasp. Unbelievers are supposed to think these teachings are ridiculous. That's why you still go to church today? You still follow the preaching of a church today? And you hear a lot of things, the reason why people do not attend church today. The unregenerated person cannot comprehend that submission can bring freedom and joy, because this is spiritually discerned. And if you're incapable of spiritually discerning it, then you are spiritually dead. So, Pastor, can we go back and kind of compromise a little bit? Sounds better. If you cannot spiritually discern, then you are spiritually dead. That's why I tell people sometimes, take that Bible, take the Word of God, get in front of you, get on your knees, stand if you prefer, and pray, God, your Word, give me understanding. The Bible says, if you lack knowledge or wisdom, ask for it. There's times I have not understood Scripture. God, show it to me. Give me understanding of your Word that I may understand it. And I found that when you ask God, He more than likely will come along and fulfill your request. Amen? Yeah, I believe that. You see, Paul's letter was written specifically to us. When I say us, I'm talking about the church. This new unique mystery called the church. And we are the ones who are filled with God's Spirit. The teacher, the Holy Ghost, gives illumination. The Spirit of God is divine empowerment. And it gives comfort to us to give us understanding. And with the Holy Spirit living in us, we are alive to God, have the spiritual capacity to comprehend what Paul writes in his letters to the church, teachings that is in the Word of God, and possess the grace to obey the Word of God out of the knowledge or the revelation that we have received from the Spirit of God. It takes the Holy Spirit in us to be able to live the life of a worshiper of Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul understood this. In other words, there's something about being made known by revelation. And Paul said it very clearly. He said in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 through 2, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me to you word. In other words, after expounding on the wealth and the workmanship of God in chapters 1 and chapters 2 of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul, he finally gets around to explaining his credentials to the Ephesians and the church at large in chapter 3. In verse 1, he declares that he is the prisoner of Jesus Christ sent to the Gentiles. In other words, God captured him. We call it calling. God called him. And God sent him. Sent him to the Gentiles. I'm a prisoner. I have no choice in the matter. I am bound to do this. And so he explains this to us. Amen? Now, then in verse 2, he begins to talk about the message of God, the message that God's given him to deliver, which he first refers to as the dispensation of the grace of God. Now, the word dispensation used here by Paul in Ephesians does not mean a period of time as the usual usage that we try to put on it as dispensation of times. Doesn't refer to times. No, it's translated from the Greek word that means administration, or the management or oversight of something. So he describes the work of a servant who has been given considerable responsibility over his master's household. So Paul is saying that the responsibility or oversight of the doctrine of the grace of God has been given to him to deliver to the Gentiles. And Paul then goes on in verse 3 to explain how he received this mandate. He says in chapter 3, verse 3, "Now by the revelation he made known unto me the mystery." Paul is telling the Ephesian church, by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I have wrote before in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Paul says, as you read the letters that I write to you, you'll begin to understand my knowledge, my understanding by revelation that God gave me of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, capital S, by God, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. The same thing that you received is now also given to the Gentiles. And he tries to tell them, I have the mystery, understand the mystery, and I'm sharing the mystery to the Gentiles. You see, it was by revelation that Paul received the understanding of the mystery. If you're in the apostolic church today, you need to have a revelation of who God is. You cannot explain to anyone who he is unless you know him. How do you know him? By the revelation of the understanding of the Godhead, the mighty God in Christ Jesus. That's a basic fundamental doctrine. I'm saying this to a church who believes this. But it's so important for us not to simply only to be a Christian, but to be a knowledgeable Christian, to have an understanding of the Scriptures, to rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen? Now, when you share your faith with someone that does not have a revelation, it is a mystery to them. They don't understand that. Amen? Does that mean that you don't love them? No, it means you love them. That means that you try to develop a warm relationship with them. And the reason why is that curtain may come down, that God might open up to them their understanding of who Christ is and what he came to do for them. The Apostle Paul is saying, listen, I'm a prisoner. I've been called. We all have been called in the one hope of our calling. Where does God send us? Into the world. After you receive the Holy Ghost, you have to be witness of me in Jerusalem, Samaria, and most parts of the world. Oftentimes we will think that means simply by witnessing Acts 2:38 to somebody. And oftentimes it doesn't work. How about win them to Christ? How about giving them a turkey dinner? How about passing out some candy from a trunk or a pickup truck? Amen? How about win them? When I look at the ministry that Christ was performing, you find him going and caring. If they were hungry, he fed them. If they needed somebody to listen to them, he was their listener. If they needed healing, he healed them. He wasn't ashamed to go to a sinner's house. So, looking here at a situation where that we need to have an understanding and a revelation. Paul said the Greek word here, revelation, means an unveiling, a revealing. The same way God tore the veil of the temple when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. And the Holy Spirit from the top to the bottom. And he pulled aside the curtain of darkness and ignorance that had hidden the mystery of the church for ages. And reveal the truth to Paul and to others. I have said in Bible study, let me tell you what, one of the best tools that we have is sitting down with somebody and sharing the Word of God. Amen. Church. A Bible study. I've seen more people from all kinds of denominational backgrounds. It's not a war of denominationalness. It's a war of revealing and understanding. I have sat in Bible study after Bible study with different denominational people, and you see something happen to them as you're going through a search of truth, a Bible study, or whatever it may be. And you see expounding the Word of God, and the Spirit of the Lord is there. All of a sudden, something comes across. You can see the transformation of understanding happening on their face. They just received the revelation. You didn't have to take a jackhammer. You didn't have to. Didn't have to holler or scream. In the atmosphere by which the Spirit could move, the Spirit of the Lord brought a revelation. Church, come on. A situation where you allow God the opportunity to bring forth the revelation that God wants to bring. So Paul received this revelation of the mystery directly from God and relates that revelation to us in the New Testament in the epistles, in the writings, the letters that the church. But we must then open our hearts in faith towards God and receive his word directly from him, just as Paul did. Every creation of the church, every workmanship of God, the church baffles the natural mind. Why do you have to go to church? Why do you need to go to church? Why, and why that? It baffles their mind. My mother, when I first went in the church, she would say to me, well, you used to dress like this, or you used to do this, son. And she always kept throwing up to me, you used to. She was seeing a life from what I was to where God was wanting to take me. Take you. Don't ever forget that there are people that watched your life within your family and outside of your family. The very creation of the church. You become the workmanship of God's hand. And so, in that place, sometimes people cannot fathom the mysteries of godliness. They can't fathom holiness. cannot fathom perfection in Christ without operating from the Spirit of God. Operating in the small s, the natural s, our mind, our spirit, the naturalness of our life, people cannot comprehend that, cannot comprehend the things that we stand for because you've received a revelation or an understanding according to the Scriptures, and you understand. Well, sometimes we got to forsake the reasoning, the natural mind, and dive fully into the revelation. This is why I made a statement earlier that sometimes you come to a place. I've not come to argue with you. I've come to share Christ with you. Okay? I've not come to convince you that I'm right and you're wrong. I've come to share Christ with you, which died for me and died for you. I've come to share Christ with you because He is my hope just like He is your hope. The world is full of religion. All kinds of religion. All kinds of experiences. What makes a difference is it receives a revelation of who Christ is. This is why Jesus said, we know it, we've heard it preached over and over again, we've been in the church very long. Jesus asked the disciples, whom do men say that I am? He wanted to do a little testing here. Who do men say that I am? And they went through some Elias. They went through different ones. Peter spoke up and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. What was Jesus' response to that? Blessed art thou, son of Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed this unto you, but my Father, which art in heaven, Okay, now, the next statement was that he was going to build his church on what? On this rock. And the rock was not Peter. He was not building his church on Peter. He's building upon that rock, which was the revelation that Peter had of who he was. Once you have that solid rock revelation of who Christ is, you will never turn from that. You may backslide. You may go back to the world. But you will never, ever be able to deny who Christ was or is. Amen? That's why we have a hope for a revival among prodigal sons and daughters. That's why we're praying for God will stir up the heart of the backsliders. Bring them back home. Why? Because they've not forgotten. They know who Christ is. They just lost their way. They've just lost their way in the wilderness of life. Okay? How important is it to have a revelation, to know who Christ is? Very important. And mystery is also something that on the surface is not only but may appear to be ridiculous and confusing. How ridiculous from a Jewish perspective. Messiah. Worse yet, if later he taught that he would die and like a seed planted in the ground, rise again, bringing a mighty harvest with him. But they said, this is the carpenter's son. Isn't that just like a normal church? Are they like everybody else? I was standing getting some Chinese food Monday, late afternoon, early evening, at Peking. Anybody ever been to Peking? Carry out? You have got to try the Sichuan chicken. Fried pork rice, wonton soup and egg roll. Makes you almost want to start speaking Cantonese. Just... It does. Someone said, can you speak Mexican? Yeah, burrito. Can you speak Cantonese? Egg roll. Okay. And I thought this lady looked familiar. She came in to the place. I'm waiting in my order to be prepared, and I'm standing there. And she looks at me, and I look at her, and she glances back away and places her order. And we're standing there, and my order is getting ready. And it comes up, and I get the bag, and I step back, and she said, hi, how are you? I said, I'm doing good. Good to see you, whoever you are. I didn't tell her that, of course. I told her good to see her. Well, she happens to be our local banker. I'm normally seeing her dress a little differently. And at the bank. And so she's kind of cozied up a little closer to me. She said, I got a question to ask you. I said, okay. I said, are you still Pentecostal? Yes. Well, I've had people ask me if you all are still Pentecostal. I said, yes, we're still Pentecostal. I said, we changed our name to be more involved with the community. That's why we have Community Life Center. She said, you are all so busy doing so many things in the community. Great revelation she's had. Amen. And then I said, some people get this P for Pentecost mixed up with Presbyterian. But I said, really Pentecostal. Reason why I say that, because when I happened to be in Athens, Alabama, and was looking for a home to move to from Indiana, I became publisher, an editor of a daily newspaper in Athens, Alabama. And the real estate agent was taking me around, showing me homes. And all over the city of Athens. And so couldn't find anything that seemed like I liked or whatever. So this is about the third time she took me out to show me the house. She said, well, I want you to know that I've been showing you all the nice home areas where all the Presbyterians live. I said, I think there's been a mistranslation here in P's. We're Pentecostal. Oh. And she never scheduled any more drives with me to look at houses. So that's why I told the kind lady at the bank, said, sometimes people get this P mixed up. We're by Presbyterian, we're actually Pentecostal. Whatever revelation that was to her, yes. But it seemed like she didn't care. People are not interested in denominations. They're interested in what they've heard about most of their life, and that's about Jesus Christ. People know about Jesus. They'll use his name in swearing. They'll use his name in bad language. They will pray to him, those that believe in him. There's a lot of believers in Jesus Christ. There's a lot of people in our community and around the world that tries to do their best to live by the tenets that Jesus would be happy about. What they need then is a revelation of who he is, who they are trying to please. When you're praying, church, in your prayers, throw this one in. Lord, send your spirit of revelation into the city. Send your spirit of understanding and open up minds and hearts that they would know you in the power and the might of your resurrection. Amen. There's so many people that wants to do what Jesus asked them to do, but they don't know the one that's asking them. times, if we're not careful, we will forget and lose even the same aspect. What made the difference in the Apostle Paul's life was revelation. What makes a difference in my life is revelation. What makes a difference in your life as a child of God is revelation. What makes a difference in the city is revelation of who Jesus Christ is. On the road to Damascus, in a natural eye, was blinded while his spiritual eyes were open, laying on his back on the ground. Who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Paul's spirit had been illuminated by the truth concerning the grace of God, and this revelation caused a complete conversion in his life. When you get a revelation of Jesus Christ, there will be a complete conversion in your life. Can you imagine God whispering in your ear the meaning of a mystery, and then when you proclaim that meaning, everybody thinks you're crazy? Oh yeah. That's the situation which Paul found himself. And people generally thought that he lost his mind when it came to talking about a crucified Messiah, a resurrected Lord. Moreover, people who knew Jesus best, the apostles, also questioned Paul because of his past. As a result, your early church. He was called by God to preach something for which he had very little Old Testament validation. About his existence in the Old Testament. So here's Paul now, trying to preach the church, goes to heathens, goes to the Gentiles. He's not in the Jewish community. They had an experience on the day of Pentecost, the Jews did. 120, then 3,000 filled with baptized, and I'm assuming and surely filled with the Holy Ghost. Add to the church daily, such to be saved were saved. What a move of Jesus Christ, the revelation that was going and flooding the city of Jerusalem. Now here is Paul, practically an outcast. You're practically an outcast from the religious world. Yet God has whispered into your spirit who he is and what his might is, and has filled you with his spirit. If we could just get a revelation of what he's done to us by filling us with his spirit into our lives, the power that's inside us. Come on. If I could just get an understanding, a revelation of the spirit that the Bible says that I was filled with, and evidenced by speaking of the tongue, the spirit of God, the power, the mightiness that is given into our spirit, into our lives. It's the kedge. It's that anchor out there. It's the rope of faith that you hold on to. Can God do it? Do you have a revelation of God? That nothing's impossible with him, but all things are possible to them that believed and are the called according to his purpose? Yeah. I mean, you've got to imagine, you know, you just had your life threatened, they put you in a basket and lower you over the wall. That's what they did with Paul, wasn't it? I wonder why you're going down the side of the wall in a basket running for your life if you're thinking, God, is this worth it? How about sitting on a ship on your way as a prisoner to Rome and a storm rises up, threatening to destroy the ship and every life in it? God, this Jesus business, this dangerous stuff. Have you ever gone through anything in your life, trials and tests and problems and insurmountable things you didn't see how through or get over or get around? I'm talking about you right now in this day that you live in. Yes, you have. You've faced it. Yet you're still here. I said, yet you're still here. What brought you back to the house of God? What brought you back in your faith and your commitment? It's because you've got an understanding of who God is, and He is worthy of all my worship and all my praise. Why do you put that gospel music on, and all of a sudden, when you're hearing that, damn, my office, I was listening to a song that someone put on Facebook, and I'm sitting there and listening to that, and I'm like, oh God, I feel the power of the Holy Ghost. Why? It's because those things, that music, the atmosphere, triggers within inside my spirit to give me understanding who's with me, who's living on the inside of me. It's the most difficult thing. Pressing you almost he was beaten with a rod, with an iron or the rod, what, how many times? 9 times, something like that. Paul was left for dead. You know what, get him on his feet, grant you there was days he, you know what gets you back up on your feet? A revelation. That when God said He wouldn't leave you nor forsake you, there's a revelation there that says, my God is with me through everything I go through. Everything that I encounter, He's there. It's not just only revelation of His name, revelation of His power, the revelation of His grace, His companionship. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7 and 8, was made a minister according to the gift of grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of His power unto me who am less than the least of all sinners, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. I was a man with letters in my hand, heading to Damascus to persecute every one of those so-called followers of Jesus. And then in being in a humble mind of state, the Apostle Paul says, wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of grace. You know why you're sitting in this congregation tonight? You know why you're watching streaming tonight? Because of the wonderful, awesome gift of grace God's given to you. Unto me who am less than least of all saints, is this grace given. Don't tell me that you're not worthy. God already knows that. Yet He gives to you the unsearchable riches of His grace. Unsearchable riches of His grace. What a revelation. What a revelation. Paul received the revelation of the mystery from God and delivered it. Took a message of the Gentiles. The same way that he received the revelation. He may be on the backside of Arabian desert, but he's standing in some Gentile city preaching Christ crucified. What's going to change your drug habit? Really want to get rid of it? I'm going to tell you. Ask God to show you who He is. And He alone can take away your drug habit. He alone can show you that He has more power than the alcohol that is consuming your life. or whatever it may be. Ask God to show you who He is, who His power is. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all expectation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. What a revelation. First of all, that He was a sinner. A lot of people's got to come to revelation that they are a sinner and need to be saved. That's a revelation. A revelation that I need Christ more than anything else. No arrogance left in Paul as he writes to the Ephesian church. He regards himself as the least among the saints. I close with this humbling truth tonight. Found in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles be heirs. Gentiles should be fellow heirs. What a revelation. It's one for the Jews only, but it is also for the Gentiles. They should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel. How do we get partakers of the gospel? Through the gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection. How can I get this, sir? Can I buy it? No, you repent, ask God of the eternities to forgive you of your sins, and then be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then His blood and cover them, and God will give you His power and reconnect a new life inside of you, and you can become a new creature in Christ Jesus. A revelation, humbling truth that He gave me. And He gave you a revelation of who He is. First call of God was to Israel, an elect group, chosen by Jesus Himself during His earthly ministry. The second call was to the Gentiles, the halt, the lame, the deaf, the dumb, the blind. Jesus is saying, let anybody come to the table. Anybody includes us. Include you. Third call is the challenge for the end of the age. Because there is still room at the Master's table for all of those that will come. That's you and my challenge at the end of this church age. There's room at the table for you. Who is the you? It is those that have not received the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's my neighbors. It's my co-workers. It's my friends, it's my families. And at this juncture in life, in this world that you and I live in, we cannot compromise this message. I said we cannot compromise this message. It's not because I've been in it for so long. It's because I received a revelation. Out of obedience, I was baptized because I needed something in my life that I've been searching for a long time. And God took me through some things and finally to a place where He got my attention and finally to where I was able to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Did I understand it? No. Did I comprehend it? No. Did I go to church? Yes, because I was married to my wonderful wife and she was raised in the church and I didn't want to stay home by myself. Did I go to church and not know the fullness of the gospel? I did. Did I listen to the preaching of the Word of God and not fully understand all that was said? I did. Then one day, just God and I, out of nowhere, as if to walk over and flipped on the switch to the lights, He revealed to me, as I was studying of the gospel and reading the gospel of John, of who Jesus really was. That's why you stay with Him. That's why you're faithful to a Wednesday night. That's why you're faithful to a Sunday. That's why you're faithful to get up every day of your life and live for Jesus the best you can. Because you have a revelation. Not just of His name, but all that goes with Him. And in the last day that you and I are living in right now, the challenge is to invite other people to the table. It was because Paul was continuously, I believe, seeking God in his heart, that the grace of God was poured out towards him. And then God could use him. I'm going to tell you, God wants you. I said he wants to use you. He wants you to be able to touch people around you as you're praying. Because you see, the unbeliever does not know what you know. That's not being arrogant. That's not being, I know something that you don't know. The difference is, I want them to know the fullness of Christ. You know why? I believe that's the part of what really making a disciple is. Go baptizing them, you know. Matthew chapter 28. Go make disciples, baptizing them, okay? You are making people, helping people become followers of Christ. Once you get a revelation, you will follow Him. Making disciples is part of that. God, give them an understanding. You want to know the secret of getting people established in church? They need a revelation. Why they're saved. Why God died on the cross for them. Why God gave His life. Came down, robed Himself in flesh. God, give them an understanding of you. Open up their mind and their spirit and their heart. Reveal yourself to them. Once you get established like that, you're not going to walk away very easily. Amen. Because you know something that you can't shake. Tell me to build a building, forget it. Tell me to fix the car, no way. Unless you show me a plan. And then I'll look at the plan, and I'll study it, and I'll study it some more. What do you keep looking at that plan for? Truth was, I'm trying to figure out how it goes together. All of a sudden, you ever had that happen to you? It just clicks. Oh, A goes to part B, and B connects to C. And C goes over here to D. And if you're very fortunate, there'll be no pieces or boats left over. If you follow the plan, you just got a revelation. How many try to put things together without reading the plan? Me? It goes better, Damien, if everything is understood better. It fits together better. Amen. And that's what happens in our lives of following Christ. When you go to Revelation, it all fits together. And you have an understanding why.